You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hey, Kate, what are you listening to?
The game.
Oh, who's playing?
What? No.
Oh, what sport?
No, it's a song.
Oh.
What's that from?
You could be standing on Broadway, the lights all aglow, but the marquee's displaying a name you don't know. Well, there's no need to be nervous, we're still glad that you've come, and we welcome you to What's That From? It's Kate and Josh on What's That From?
Hello! Welcome back to season two of
What's That From?
A podcast exploring musicals we don't know,
but probably should. My name is Kate.
And I'm Josh. And it's season two.
We're back.
It's been too long.
Yeah, too long. Too long.
Season two long. And we've got some exciting things to share, and we thought we'd just fill you in on what we've been up to since the last time we spoke.
We have truly been all over the place, all over the country even. Yeah. Josh was on tour with the Book of Mormon, and I finished my run off Broadway in the Office parody, and I did a few shows in a few different states, so we've truly been all over the map.
Here and there, around the square. We started our production company.
Yes, Next Stop Creatives.
I am now in the Broadway company of the Book of Mormon.
Yes, and we're back in New York City, and we've truly both been hitting the ground running with our combined production company and auditions and all good things. So glad
and
to be back.
We just felt like it was the right time and right energy to do our season two. And our big exciting news is that we'll now be featured on the Broadway Podcast Network. It's where you can find us for all streaming purposes. So shout out to BPN for taking us
on. Yeah, we're so excited to be a part of the BPN family.
And for our first show back, we were thinking, what better show to do than a little baseball?
A little baseball, a little nod to New York, even.
I know what you're thinking. It's not the national pastime from Smash, everybody's favorite baseball and musical theater.
It's Damn Yankees. Play ball!
And we thought we'd dive right back in with our classic 30-second plot challenge.
Let's do it. Is it who is doing it?
You know what? I volunteer as tribute.
Okay. Love that attitude.
We've got 30 seconds on the clock.
And I am hitting start now.
So we have this old guy who is mad that his favorite baseball team is losing, and so he makes a deal with the devil to become young again, and he just kind of leaves his life behind and his wife, and as he does that, he doesn't realize that the devil is actually trying to trick him, and he's trying to keep him in his soul locks forever, but you know what? In the end, the power of baseball and the power of love win, and Joe prevails. He wins the team the score, and he gets his lady back.
Done.
Honestly?
You ate that up.
That might be the best 30-second plot challenge I've ever done in my entire life. Like, I kind of think I ate that.
You did. That was really good.
I didn't strike out. Oh. Get ready for the baseball phones.
Yeah, get ready, because they're coming.
That was just first base.
Yeah. You're batting 1,000. But, no, that was honestly great.
So that's the end of the episode.
So that's actually how the show goes. So, all right.
So, Kate, tell us a little bit about the history of Damn Yankees.
Absolutely. So, Damn Yankees is actually based on Douglas Wallop's novel, The Year the Yankees Lost the Pennant. It's a retelling of a Faust legend, where it's a man exchanges his soul to the devil in exchange for powers. So kind of when we did Hadestown last season, sort of like a similar thing, a modern retelling of a classic story.
Yeah.
Wallop chose to set it in Washington, D.C. during the time when the New York Yankees were dominating Major League Baseball, which I'm not a baseball expert, but I'm not quite sure that they're dominating baseball right now, at least from the like two Yankees games I've gone to.
To be honest, I couldn't tell you anything about the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't think that they're necessarily at the top.
I mean, I would argue the most I know about the Yankees is from this musical.
Oh, so that's minimal, huh? It comes from composer-lyricist team Richard Adler and Jerry Ross, which, if you remember from last season, the Pajama Game, they are the same team. Obviously, a major success, the Pajama Game, so...
I saw, why don't we just do it again?
Yeah, let's run it back. At the time, it was a large risk to write a musical about a sport. I was going to say I feel like it's common now, but to be honest, I guess maybe it's not. I guess this is like the one, right? I guess The Wolves is like a play that's soccer.
Yeah, I guess I really don't see that much sports content in theater.
Yeah. But like, to me, maybe it's because of also High School Musical.
The national pastime
and Smash. Yes, and the like I don't dance, like I feel like the baseball field just feels
something about baseball feels it's the music. Pants it's the tight pants.
Yeah, so they took a risk, but it
the pants
paid
won.
Off yeah. And they also brought Wall up to work on the book, and it was directed by director and playwright George Abbott
and choreographed by Bob Fosse.
It was on Broadway in 1955, there was a film version in 1958, and then it was revived in 1994.
Right. And the film is almost like a carbon copy of the original stage show, and it was almost the exact same cast, except for the Joe Hardy is different. And then when they made the revival, they made a lot of revisions to it. So when we talk about the plot today, we'll kind of be steering more towards the licensable version, which is a little closer to the original production, than the 94 revival, which they kind of modernized it, vamped it up a little bit, changed the context of some songs.
Yeah.
But we'll be staying to the one that you'll probably most likely be seeing or doing.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So now we thought, let's dive a little deeper into that story.
Yeah, 30 seconds just wasn't enough.
No, I did a really good job.
You did a really, really good job. So we start with Joe, our main character. He's watching baseball. He's your average Joe, I guess, to be honest. No.
Oh, I see what they did there.
I actually see what they did there.
And he's like an older man that just is living his classic life, watching sports on the TV at the end of the day.
It's very, like, stereotypical suburbia.
Yeah.
Especially from, like, the 1950s. It feels very, specific to that time.
Yes. And his wife, Meg, she sings this little song called 6 Months Out of Every Year, where it's telling the story of the housewife that can't get her husband's attention because he's so focused on the baseball. For 6 months out of every year, because that's the season.
It's an incredible
song. It's such a really fun opening number.
It's so good.
It's like all the housewives.
It sets it up perfectly, too. Yeah. I feel like you know exactly where we are, what's going on, and how things are going to unfold.
Right.
It's so good.
And, of course, his favorite team, the Washington Senators, lose.
Losers.
They're losers.
They're losers.
Not to be mean, but...
No, because they're...
They kind of suck.
And they have a lot of heart, which we'll come to learn. They're a sweet group of people, but they're not good at baseball.
And he believes in them.
He really does. As a Cubs fan from Chicago, I can understand this sentiment of just loving a team that's so bad.
And so he goes outside after the team lost, and he's like, oh, what I would do to sell my soul, because I know if I was on that team, they would win. And the devil appears.
Yeah, he's like, I would sell my soul to save them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the devil appears.
And this mysterious man appears, Mr. Applegate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, why don't we make that happen? And he's like, who are you? Where did you come from? How do you know my name? And then the guy's like, let me show you some magic tricks. And he kind of proves that there's something else going on here.
Yeah, and Joe's simple. So yeah. He's like, oh, actually, okay.
And
seems legitimate.
He learns that he's the devil, and he is offering him to sell his soul so that he could go and win the team for them. And Joe's like, yes, but I do love my wife, not gonna lie. And he's like, okay, well,
let's add a little clause.
Like, you want
clause.
Them to win or not?
Yeah.
And so Joe being, what is he, a real estate agent?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm a businessman, and I don't sign any contracts without my out. And so his out is that on the night before the game, he can decide to not do this anymore.
Right.
And he can go back to his wife.
Yeah.
And the devil is so eager to win him over.
He's hungry.
He's like, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
And so they make a deal. And Joe is magically turned into a beautiful young man.
Yeah, 22-year-old baseball star, Joe Hardy. And which they picked a name that is so similar to his name. Like, he's like, no, I'm not the other Joe.
I'm this Joe.
Oh. They're like, yeah, we would never put that together.
And so he writes a note to his wife that's like, oh, I'll be back. And then he just leaves his wife.
Emphasis on the question mark.
And he sings a song that's like, goodbye, old girl.
Mm-hmm. It's sweet.
It's sweet. But then I'm also like, you really just picked the baseball over your wife?
Okay. Yeah, he was quick to pull the trigger on that one.
So he does.
He does.
So then we cut to the baseball team, mm-hmm. the Washington Senators. And their coach, Van Buren, the manager, he's like, okay, you guys, like, there's something's got to change. We're losing bad. And you don't want to go down in history like mm-hmm. this. And you know what you do have? May not be skill. May not be talent. You got heart. And they sing a classic song.
Arguably is a very important thing to have.
Yeah, he's not a bad coach.
Yeah, who cares if you don't have talent? If you have heart.
I believe in you, and you should believe in yourself.
Yeah. Sweet song.
And it's a great song. This is arguably one of the most famous songs from the yeah. show, I would say. It's also one of the first songs I ever sang in voice lessons growing up.
Oh, so sweet.
So then we meet a reporter.
Gloria Thorpe. She comes in, she wants to interview Van Buren, and she's kind of involved when Applegate's pitching... Joe.
It's a baseball joke. If you didn't catch that. So yeah, Applegate shows up with Joe and is like, hey, you should let him be on this team. And there's just like, the Van Buren's like, whoa, we're doing practice. There's the press is here. Like, who are you to people? And he's like, no, I promise. Like, give him a bat and show him what to do. So Joe goes out there and he strikes out over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, he has to join the team. He's better than anybody
yeah.
you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And so then he proves to them that he's a prodigy, and they sign him onto the team.
Yep.
And Gloria's like,
What? Who is this guy?
Where'd he come from? And the only thing that she knows about him is that when he got there, his shoes didn't fit, so he had to borrow somebody else's mm-hmm. shoes. And so she tries to make that his sell. Oh, we got a good story
to
tell.
She said this is the headline.
It's the headline. You heard it here first, folks.
Shoeless Joe from Hannibal, Missouri, which is Meg, his wife's hometown.
And I gotta be honest, I had heard this song many a times before this show. Out of context, I had no idea that Hannibal, Mo was like a location. Like, I did not process that it was like he was from this town called Hannibal. I thought it was gibberish. Shoeless Joe from Hannibal, Mo. Like, I really, really thought it was just like a phrase or a saying. Like,
you said all these people are in charge of writing this musical, but they're putting gibberish in this title.
I just didn't think about it. Now
legendary
I'm like, I'm
team.
So that's the whole sell that the headline she has for him.
So Joe Hardy, massive success, carrying the team to victory after victory, which, as we know, the Senators were not used to experiencing.
They're at the top now. They're second place in the league. Mm-hmm. And the press just keeps asking him who he is, where he comes from.
Right.
I'm like, they didn't think this through, you know? Yeah. And also why they picked a name so close to his.
And they were so bad, and now they're just randomly an amazing team. And they're like, oh, now I'm surprised people are asking questions. It's like, well, you did kind of come out of left field. Baseball pun.
And so even all this press and stuff, Joe's like, actually, like, you know, I'm not going to lie, I really miss my wife. And the Devil's like, dude, like, you are the star right now. This is what you wanted. Live it up. Forget about her. And he's like, no, like, I actually, like, kind of want to go see her. And he's like, no, I got the girl for you. And so he's like, I'm going to send you this lady that you're really going to like. And Joe's like, sure. And so
I guess
he sings a song called A Man Doesn't Know. It's just basically saying he misses that special lady of his.
Ew.
So anyways,
Applegate then has to go prep said lady. So Lola is the name of the character, played by Gwen Verdon in the original production.
Legend.
Iconic.
Yeah.
So he goes to Lola, who's his female assistant, and is like, all right, this is the task.
I got the job for you.
Joe wants to go back to his wife. I need you to home wreck.
And she's like,
easy.
Oh, I do this every day.
Yeah.
And she sings a little song called A Little Brains, A Little Talent. I loved this song.
It's so good.
I think I'd heard it before, but I'd never really heard it, if you know what I mean.
You listened, but you didn't hear. Right.
And I felt it. I liked it. I liked that song.
Me too.
Cute character introduction.
So cute. Great song.
Yeah. And so then Joe actually is like, you know what? I'm actually just going to go see my wife, even though she has no idea who I am.
Right.
Which is my big question is like, when he got turned into a young man, is he turned into the young version of himself, or did he turn into a completely different person?
I guess.
Because if he was a younger version of himself,
she would
have recognized him, right?
I feel like maybe it has to be a different person because...
Because at this time, they would have been, like, going steady at a young age, married 22? Young. 22?
They probably would have been married.
She would have known what he looked like. So I feel like he had to be given a different body.
Because unless he was a star baseball player when he was 22, putting him in his old body probably wouldn't do anything, right?
Right. These are the questions we have. If you know the writers, please put them in touch with us.
As if they're, like, still hanging around.
I'm getting
around.
The Ouija board out. And that's the one thing I use the Ouija board for, like, is to contact the writers of Damn Yankees to find out.
It's important.
Anyways. So he goes back to his wife, and she's like, who are you? And he's like, hey, I actually need somewhere to live, and I heard you've got a free room. And she's like, you know what?
I do.
Yeah, I can make some money off of this.
Yeah.
And so he starts renting a room there.
As she should. A true businesswoman.
And she, of course, feels some strange connection to him.
Yeah.
Weird, but she lets a young 22-year-old man into her house, but...
But we'll overlook it.
She's making cash. She's got to get that point.
For sure.
So we cut back to Joe at baseball practice, and in the locker room, Lola appears.
Lola is waiting.
A little problematic, because she's kind of like pretending to be this like stereotypical...
Like, is it...
Latina character.
Yes, yeah. Like,
and so that...
We don't need to do all that. It's maybe what we've learned since 1955. Is that we don't need to be doing all that.
No.
But she sings whatever Lola wants,
which is I would say the most famous song from the show.
That was a song I knew.
Yeah,
I've played it for Josh before. I'll have to like post it on our Instagram. But there's like this techno version that used to play in my house all the time, and I didn't even know that it was from a musical.
Yes. And I love this song.
It's so good.
The seduction song.
It sounds sexy.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
And so she tries to seduce him with a little striptease, and his love is too strong for Meg. So he's like, you know what, I'm sorry, I just can't. And she's like, what, this has never not worked before.
She's shocked.
Yeah, she's shocked.
And so then Applegate is like, rats, now that didn't work. I gotta find another way to make him, like, not want to be with his wife, right, or make him, like, just go back to baseball. Like, you love baseball. That's a big thing. So he's like, I'm gonna start a rumor. I'm gonna make a big deal about Joe living in Meg's house because she's married, and how dare she,
right,
house another man.
Right. And so then he causes all that drama, and then he also makes the team lose after their winning streak. And Lola suddenly joins Team Joe because after her, like, seduction didn't work on him, she's kind of touched by that because,
yeah,
she's never met a guy whose love has been that genuine and strong. So she's like, wait, he's different. I don't understand.
Why do we want to corrupt him?
Process this. So she's
she
like,
glitches.
She glitches, and she's like, you know what? Maybe I'm team him. So she goes and she tells him the truth. She says that Applegate made him lose and is trying to scam him.
Right.
And so
Applegate losing his mind.
He's freaking out.
The devil.
He's freaking out.
He's freaking out.
And he's also like, why did I give him that clause? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So then Gloria, the news reporter, she finds Applegate and is like, listen, I've been doing the digging on this guy. I can't find anything about him. Nobody from Missouri knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is this guy? And the devil's like, well, he's not Shifty McCoy. And then he, like, runs away. And she's like, he's Shifty McCoy. He plants the seed.
He did that. He did
some,
that dirty.
Like, ball player in Mexico that took bribes, that wasn't, mm-hmm, like, a genuine person.
Right.
He's a con man.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh,
oh,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So his, one of his tactics works.
Yes.
And so now Gloria goes off to kind of trap Joe for,
right,
being a fraud.
Right. And then meanwhile, we're having this sort of
pep rally. Yeah.
Pep rally. And there is this song called Who's Got the Pain, which is, if you haven't watched the movie recording with Bob Fosse and Gwen Verdon, pause the podcast, open your YouTube app, and watch it. And now, it is so good.
It's so good.
It's, to me, one of the most iconic Bob Fosse moments.
Yeah.
And very similar to the Pajama Game.
Yes.
Steam
it,
Heat.
It kind of, like, is a... serves the same kind of function. It's like there's, it's a live performance.
Yeah.
There's like a show within a show moment.
Yep.
And really doesn't propel the plot forward, but it's just good classic Broadway song and dance.
Yes.
And very vaudeville-y.
And you know,
and
it worked.
It's incredible.
In the,
it's just there's nothing like that kind of movement.
It's so good.
And performance quality.
And it worked so well in the Pajama Game. Steam Heat was, like, amazing. And so I feel like they must have just been like, well, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
Like, it, we had this amazing number that went off so popularly. So.
It's so good.
It's so good.
And in the movie, like Kate said, Bob Fosse actually performs this number,
mm-hmm,
with Gwen Verdon.
Mm-hmm.
Playing just, like, a random guy that does the number with her. And so at the pep rally, Lola performs that, and then at the end of the act, like, the officials appear, and they're like, the commissioner's like, Joe, you're Shifty McCoy, and we're taking you to court. Dun-dun, blackout.
It, yeah, like, if you can't prove it, you're not allowed to play. Yeah.
Fun ending to act one.
Yeah.
It's like, leave you on a cliffhanger, will he get out, will he not, what's gonna happen? And then we get to act two.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in the game. The team players are all in the locker room, and they're just talking about how they're going to win the game, because with or without Joe, they're in the finals. You know,
right,
how are we going to do this?
Right. And so Joe and Meg sort of have a moment outside of the ballpark, and she feels bad. She's like, sorry, I kicked you out of your room, and I just really miss my husband. And
he's like,
he's like,
he'll be back. And she's like,
how do you know that?
do you, have and you been talking to him? Like, he's do like, you know I my just husband? Know. And they sing this song called Near to You that, like, he'll always be near to you. And yeah. he is near to you. And he's actually singing this song to you. This is, like, a weird Blurred Lines moment because they get, like, a little
really
connection
close.
Here.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, what's going on?
And I
on?
Get because it's because her love for him
of course.
Is prevailing through this facade.
Their heartstrings are tethered.
But when you, if I was just like walking to my car at the ballpark and I looked over and this 40-year-old woman is like singing this love duet with this 22-year-old boy, I'd be like, oh, isn't she married?
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird.
But it's because it's actually him.
But because we
and
know
the love
what we
is
know.
Powerful. Because we
it's
know
cute.
What we know, it's okay.
Yeah.
You're right. So then we go to Applegate's apartment, and he's telling Lola that...
Also, Applegate having an apartment is so funny. It's like the
like
devil
the
in his
apartment.
Apartment.
Yeah, the devil's lair. And he's telling Lola that after he traps Joe, after the claws date, that he's not even going to let him win the game, that he was never going to let him win the game. So he's going to get his soul, and he's going to lose the baseball game, because actually, he's rooting for the Yankees.
Yeah.
So... Applegate is,
He's mad also that Lola's feeling sympathy.
Right, because she's like, hey, I actually kind of like this boy. I think you should be nice to him. And he's like, no, I'm actually
going
to be meaner
to him. Out of it, woman.
Yeah. And then Joe bursts in. It's like, hey, just so you know, I'm taking the claws. And the devil's like, you actually can't take it until the night the claws ends. So why did you tell me this? You know what I mean? He just gives it all away. Yeah. I guess he's kind of like, I just want to end it now.
Right.
But the devil's like, you can't end it now. And now he knows his plan.
I know. So.
And then he's like, oh, like, this is so complicated. Like, I miss the good old days. And he sings a song called Those Were the Good Old Days, where he just talks about all the horrible things that have happened in history and that he was the person behind them all.
Right.
And that it would just used to be easier.
Yeah. When pain and suffering was at the forefront, he was much happier.
So then, now we're at the trial, and the trial happens to be the same day that the claws can
oh
be enacted.
Oh, boy.
And so the... Gloria, the reporter, is... she's got the people from Missouri saying that they don't know who Joe is, and she's got all these people coming to testify that are like, we don't know who this guy is.
Right. And Applegate's like, keep stalling, talk more, so that it will get closer and closer to midnight so he can't escape.
And then Meg and her two friends, Sister and Doris, who we haven't said their names yet, but they're just like her little side girlies that are always around. But also, side note, her name is Sister? Is that her government name?
Her God-given name. Sister.
Like, if I knew
her
my...
Her parents looked her in the eyes and said, you are named Sister.
If I had a child and I named her Sister Keen, I think that'd be kind of weird, right?
Yeah, no, that would definitely be weird.
Not to hate on anybody whose name is Sis out there. We love you.
No, no hate. Sis is cute, though.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Anywho.
They barge into the courtroom and they're like, we know him, and you know him, too. And they're like, what? And then somehow they convince everybody that they do know who he is.
they're cute for that.
But it's too late. The clock has already struck, and he can't use the claws.
Yeah.
He's trapped.
He surrendered his soul.
Oh, boo-hoo, you're trapped in a young, attractive body.
Oh, you're a famous, successful baseball player. Wah, wah.
So then Joe's just like, wait,
bummed.
This sucks.
Yeah.
And so then Lola finds him and is like, you know what?
I'm going to help you out.
I'm going to help you out.
Yeah, so she's like, I knocked out Applegate. I've drunked him.
And so you can go and win the game because he wasn't going to let you win the game.
So
now,
at least
even
that.
Though you're trapped, like, I'll let you in. Like, I'll drop him. And so then they have this kind of weird Blurred Lines moment where they're like, well, I guess since my soul is sold, like, there's no going back. So I guess we just have to spend the rest of eternity together. Or at least we have each other. And they sing a really good song that I like called Two Lost Souls.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out dancing, and it's really cute. Also really good choreography. If you've never seen this number in the movie, look it up.
Joe's Riz is out of this world.
I mean, yeah.
He is, like, pulling
demons.
He's pulling everyone. And unintentionally.
And so they, like, they kiss and they have like a moment where they're like, yeah. I guess we're spending our life together now, which is right. almost like, that's kind of weird that he moved on that quickly. But I yeah. get it if you really did think you sold your soul to the devil.
Sold your whole soul. Like, it's kind of like, well, I guess okay. we'll settle in.
So anyways, they go out dancing and then the next night is the game. And Applegate actually awakes just in time God. To make it to the game. Yeah. Like, she can drug him a little later. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And so then he goes to the game to, like, mess Joe up, and he changes Joe back into his old self, but right as he catches the ball, and they win.
Yep.
The Senators win. Joe turns back old, but the fans storm the field, and Joe disappears into the crowd. And so they're like, where did that guy go? He appeared. Where, literally, where did he come from?
Where did he go?
Where did he come from?
Shoeless Joe. And that's the whole plot, actually.
Literally, Cotton Eye Joe, I think, written about comes from Damn Yankees.
The titular song.
And so then Joe goes back to Meg, and he's his old self again. And she's like, OMG, like, where did you go? Actually, I don't care. Just get over here and kiss me.
Yeah.
And then...
That is kind of funny, because they do just move on really fast. Like, it's just like, oh, you're back. And I'm like... She's not a little bit skeptical?
I mean, go everybody off. Is thinking the subtext, where'd you come from, where'd you go?
Yeah, that's so true.
But yeah, she's like, okay. And then Applegate and Lola appear in their apartment, but only Joe can see them. And they're like, Lola's like, leave him alone, you're not gonna, love is too strong. And he's like, you're coming with me, and then... Joe's like, no, love me, Meg, love me. And then the power of love wins.
Yeah.
And Applegate loses. He and Lola go away, and
happily ever after. Joe and Meg get
to spend the rest of their lives back together.
And his beloved team won. Wow.
Yeah. Kind of got everything.
A feel-good story all around. This show's got everything. Baseball. Love.
Demons.
Dance. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Damn Yankees. And it ran for 1,019 performances originally.
Super well received.
Won best musical, best leading actor for Applegate, best actress for Gwen Verdon, best featured actor, best conductor and musical director, best choreography, best technician, which we're not sure if that even is still awarded today. Good for them.
But kind of cute and awesome.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I liked this show.
I really liked it.
I'd like to see a production of it. I'd like to dance in a production of it.
Me too.
Yeah, I think it...
I really actually, it's like...
It's a hitter.
It's a hit. But all jokes aside about it, I do actually think it has something for everyone. I think it's a really... has a wide appeal.
Yeah. And like we said, it is a 50s musical. There's some stereotypes.
Yeah.
That are a little outdated, but
it's
overall really well crafted.
I feel like it's better than the Pajama Game.
Yeah, honestly,
like as far as like outdated cringiness, it's better than the Pajama Game.
Totally.
And
the crux of the plot is fun, like the deal with the devil. Like that's so cool.
It is. It is, and like, yeah, I just think the way it all intertwines is really interesting and fun. And there's a lot of characters have a lot. To say, you know, like it's like Meg and Lola and Joe and Applegate and like there's parts a lot of characters
and a lot. But the thing about it is you do need a lot of dancing with boys.
Yeah.
So like it'd be like if your theater's doing a production of Newsies, do Damn Yankees too. You got them all there.
You might as well just you put got them all there. They're ready. They got the pants roles, on.
Mostly guys.
Yeah. But overall, what would you rate the show?
Honestly, out of 10.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, 8.5?
Yeah. I think I would give it, like, a 9.
Yeah.
It's just musical theater.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Me too. And, like, I'm not a sports kind of person, but, like...
You throw in some dance numbers in there.
Hey.
Hey.
Kind of got me there in the field.
Yeah. So, it was, yeah, really well received in the 50s. The revival also did well.
Mm-hmm. They did it at City Center. And,
I haven't seen a... things I feel like come in rotation, like sometimes like everyone's doing Damn Yankees, and I feel like that was maybe like 2 years ago. Do you feel that?
Maybe. I've never seen it. I need to see it.
Yeah, but I'm like I want more people to do it.
soon.
Think about it.
We're manifesting it.
Yeah, think about it, you guys. Think about doing Damn Yankees.
But moral of the story, don't sell your soul to the devil.
Whatever you do.
Maybe it is, because it kind of sounds like the devil's dumb and he won in the end. So, I mean, if you're really in love with somebody, do sell your soul to the devil. If you want something out of it, if you really love somebody, you can get out of it.
Like, he got everything that he wanted out of that.
Huh.
Okay, wait, actually. Wait a minute.
Well, I think that's it for this first episode back. Thanks for tuning in.
If you want to find us, you can find us on Instagram and on the Broadway Podcast Network. Our Instagram handle is at WTFBway. That's WTFBWAY. We got rid of the underscore.
So,
one word.
Make sure you get that change.
Make sure you change our contact in your phone.
BWAY.
BWAY. And now we're on the BWAY Podcast Network. Yeah, so excited to be joining BPN, and you can find us on all of their streaming platforms. And we'll see you next week.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Kate.
And this is
What's That From?
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.